This is the Bigger Pockets Podcast, show 158.
You know, that's the kind of things that you don't learn in these courses. They don't tell you what to do. I mean, they say, get the deal, go out, market it, sell it, make cash, and, you know, you'll be forever rich. But there's kind of that second layer of, you know, doing the time.
You're listening to Bigger Pockets Radio, simplifying real estate for investors large and small. If you're here looking to learn about real estate investing without all the hype, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and be sure to join the millions of others who have benefited from BiggerPockets.com, your home for real estate investing online.
What's going on, everybody? This is Josh Dorkin, host of the Bigger Pockets Podcast, here with my co-host, Mr. Brandon Turner. What's going on, Brandon?
Not a whole lot. What's going on with you?
I'm good, man. Are you thawed yet?
I'm getting thawed. Yeah. I was just flew in from Minnesota, where I went to this show actually comes out, you know, a week and a half later, but I went to the Vikings Seahawks game in Minnesota because I was born and raised in Minnesota, but I've converted to a Seahawks fan. And
you're a traitor.
Yeah, I'm a traitor. A lot of people have said that. it was -6 degrees in an outdoor stadium for 5 hours of standing there. And Seahawks won in the last 25 seconds.
That was a great game.
It was an amazing game. Best football game I've ever watched, but a very sad, bittersweet ending to it because nobody wants to win by the other team missing a field goal, but whatever.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Win's a win.
It was all good. So your toes have...
My toes are getting unthawed. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Cool. Well, welcome back.
Thanks.
Welcome back. Cool. So yeah, no, everything's great with me. It's been a crazy first couple of weeks of the year. Just lots of stuff happening. Lots of excitement happening here in Bigger Pockets.
I love January because of that, right? Because people real estate in January. It's like they got their goals and they're like, I'm going to go and like traffic just explodes. Our listeners on the podcast explodes. Everything just... explodes. It's great. You guys are awesome.
Yeah. I've been calling it the January effect for the past like decade. It literally is such that every January we see a pop in our traffic, and across the board, you'll see that in the real estate space and personal finance and things like that, because everybody's made their New Year's resolutions. They're super excited and they're ready to go. Well, this is a perfect show for January because this is chock full of action items. And we're definitely going to help lots of the beginners. And there's actually a ton of cool stuff for folks who've been around for a while as well.
Yeah. But today's show, honestly, is one of my all-time favorites. I think I always say that all the time, right? But like in terms of actionable content that I'm going to apply to my life, this show is definitely one of my favorites. You guys will love it.
Well, I think what I like best about it is, you know, a lot of people ask about how to do things and they go and they do them, but there's always going to be contingencies. Right. So I believe it's Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett's old partner, Buffett and Munger. He talks about looking for alternatives. Right. So what's going to go wrong before I proceed? What's going to possibly go wrong? Well, the cool thing about this show is not that it's what's going to go wrong and using that to stop you from doing things. Things are always going to go wrong. And what this show looks at is, you know, when things go quote unquote wrong, what can you do to move forward? And what happens is most investors, most people stop when the quote unquote wrong happens. And as you listen to the show, you'll get a better idea of what I'm talking about. But most people stop there. And what Jeff does, our guest, who I'm going to introduce shortly, he takes it a step further. He does the things that the average guy does not do. So this thing is amazing. There's so many little tidbits. And so we're super charged about it. Before we get into it, big thanks to everybody who's been listening to the show. We've seen a nice pop in the amount of people who've been listening to the show this January, so we're super excited about that. If you are not yet somebody who's left us a review or rating, please, we love these things. They help us out. They help spread the word. Jump on iTunes and leave us a rating and review.
And subscribing helps us a ton as well.
Subscribing is huge. Absolutely. Subscribe to the show. Otherwise, let's get into this. So let's talk about today's quick tip.
Quick tip. All right. Today's quick tip. I'll keep it short. We probably mentioned it on the show before, but in case we've never spent time on it, we have a free video course on Bigger Pockets. It's like 5 or 4.5 hours of video lessons with over 60 lessons. It's called the Beginner's Guide to Real Estate Investing Course. And it's just a free course you can go and take right now at biggerpockets.com/courses. So check it out.
Cool. Yeah. We took our Ultimate Beginner's Guide and made it into a video course because different people learn in different ways. And so check it out.
You might think you want real estate, but that's not true. What you really want is passive income. With new investors struggling to find deals or get enough money to buy them and veteran landlords tired of the constant tenant phone calls, is there a better alternative? Actually, there is. Short notes from ConnectInvest. ConnectInvest is an online investing platform that allows you to easily participate in passive real estate investing, and all you need is $500 to start. Short notes collectively funds a diversified portfolio of commercial and residential real estate projects across acquisition, construction, and development phases. You'll earn a fixed monthly income without the hassle of owning or managing real estate. Head to connectinvest.com/BP to create your account. Fund your digital wallet with at least $500. Select from 6, 12, and 24-month short notes with annualized return rates up to 9%. Then sit back and let your monthly returns roll in. Join today by visiting connectinvest.com/VP. Connectinvest.com/VP. Passive income without the property headache? It's possible. There's a way to invest passively in real estate and get monthly income without any tenants, maintenance, or property management. The Wealthy have been doing this for years, and if you're an accredited or high net worth investor, you too can collect cash flow without the headaches that come from owning rentals. How? By investing in a private real estate fund with PPR Capital Management. PPR's co-founder, Dave Van Horn, wrote the book on real estate note investing for BP. But he's not just investing in notes. Dave and his team also have an extensive background in commercial real estate. And with PPR Capital Management, they're strategically investing in both notes and commercial real estate nationwide. With over $500 million in assets under management, PPR has provided individuals with a steady source of truly passive income since 2007 without ever missing a payment. Check them out at investwithppr.com. Again, if you're looking to get monthly passive income from an experienced team with a strong track record, go to investwithppr.com today.
Top real estate investors love to talk about how they save so much on taxes. But how are they able to build rental property empires while skirting Uncle Sam? 1031 exchanges. 1031 exchanges allow you to defer capital gains taxes while you sell an investment property, exchanging your old property for a bigger, better one and avoiding the tax man while you do it. And that's where First American Exchange Company comes in. They're the leaders in 1031 exchanges. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting, First American Exchange can help you with simple rental property exchanges, complex commercial real estate investments, reverse exchanges, and more. Don't let your taxes eat into your profits. Visit First American Exchange Company at firstexchange.com or call them at 800-556-2520. That's firstexchange.com or 800-556-2520. Keep your money in your pocket and propel your portfolio further at firstexchange.com. First American Exchange Company does not provide tax or legal advice. Consult your financial, real estate, tax, or legal advisor about your circumstances. First American Exchange Company. Safe, smart, secure.
Awesome. So let's get to the show here, man. Jeff DiCarlo is our guest. Jeff is a resident of the Pittsburgh area. He has been investing only for a few years, but he's really crushing it right now. And
didn't he say like 75 deals or something like that, wholesale deals so far, plus multiple rehabs going on at one time? Like,
I don't know. I wasn't busy. Do I ever listen to this, what I say?
Yeah, he's doing a lot of stuff. He's doing multiple deals every single month.
He's crushing it.
Yeah, consistent deal pipeline just coming in, deals coming in. And he's going to teach you exactly how he does that on today's show.
And he does focus on wholesaling primarily. However, if you're, you know, if you're a buy and hold, if you're a flipper, or if you're a wholesaler or anything else, the techniques that he talks about are going to help you. They will help you get more deals. So definitely pay attention. Let's bring him in. Jeff, welcome to the show, man. It's good to have you here.
Thanks. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, this should be fun today. No, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. So we're going to talk about marketing today, and we're going to talk about a little bit of wholesaling, a little bit of flipping, all that good stuff. You do all that, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Awesome. So one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, which I was excited when I saw you were coming on, is because I want to take up my direct mail marketing to a new level. And so I'm going to pick your brain a lot today. This show is about me and you. Josh is just here to, you know, entertain.
Hey, Jeff, do you listen to our podcast at all, Jeff?
I listen to every one of them. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know if you noticed, but every time we have somebody who does marketing, Brandon says, I'm going to take it up a notch. And then does he? No.
I sometimes do. No, I really am though. Like, I seriously, I was on a plane ride yesterday and I sat for like an hour because I didn't have my computer. Cause, like, it was dead and it was a long flight. Anyway, so I sat there and I just worked out like a funnel, like a direct mail marketing funnel. And I was like, I really should be doing more of this. Like, so today I want to learn the best way to do it. And you seem like the guy to talk to. Is that right?
I am, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
I've been in the same position, you know, knowing I needed to do more and just like everything else, got to do it. So
yeah.
It makes a difference.
Yeah. And I mean, because the reason is for me and for a lot of people listening right now, the MLS is getting more and more and more difficult to find deals on. Like it's all like when, I mean, even like a, even if I'm the first one to offer on a property, there's like six offers now on a bank repo in my area. And so like, I can't even rely on those anymore for consistent leads. And so I need to come up with a better source for consistent leads. So that's what we're talking about today. But
and
why don't
it's
we get
not
started?
About you. Oh, so why don't you
it's
stop
not about
talking?
Me. No, I was transitioning, Josh.
Jeff. All right. listen, we're done with this guy. Let's talk about you. You work for an auction company. You work for a real estate auction company. And then something didn't go so well. And tell us the whole story. How'd you get the game going?
Right. Well, yeah, I worked for a real estate auction company. I was doing business development. So basically, my job was to wine and dine bank executives to get them to give us their what they call special assets. Sports complexes, funeral homes, restaurants, things that didn't fit into that traditional mold for the MLS that they could put out there. We would come in, we'd advertise it, we'd auction it, and hopefully sell it, and sometimes sell properties even for higher prices. But in the recession 2008, I was laid off. We were the first ones to go. We had company cars, expense accounts, phones. I mean, we had, you know, everything, but we were the first ones to go when the crash hit. And people say, well, how do you get selling bank foreclosures when there's more bank foreclosures? But it was at a time when, you know, $3 million special asset properties were selling for one or less. And it just, everyone put the brakes on it and kind of just were waiting for the recovery. And again, we were the first ones to go. So I myself started, you know, in buying MLS properties as well. And then same case as you, had to dry up and had to look for other sources and realized it wasn't a business model that could sustain and, you know, an income and something that's predictable on a monthly basis.
So how'd you end up in the business? How'd you fall by this auction job?
Well, I actually, right out of college, I started selling cars, right? And it's a tough grind, but you really learn all the sales, you know, you need from there. And I rewind a little bit more, had saw an advertisement in the paper. Someone was looking for someone to help with the real estate investment business. And it was a guy who was doing like lease options and long story short, he really didn't have any of the sales aspect down. So people would call, he'd send me out on these and give me the script and these CDs to read, to listen to. And it just, he was sending me on a ton of just no deals. And I got some experience there, but even when they did come through, he wasn't able to pay me and such. So I basically applied for a, they also owned an auto auction, and I applied for that job, and they said, well, you do have some real estate experience there. It's always been a passion of mine, and kind of just fell into the job with the auction company that way and, you know, really enjoyed it. And it's a passion now.
Right on. So you got laid off, and where's your mind, and how did you end up kind of taking those first leaps into actually doing your own deals?
Right. And, you know, like a lot of people, I just started studying everything I could, and I've always had an interest in it. And I think probably like 95% of the people out there, I mean, I knew everything. I could talk at a party with it, you know, had real estate fever where, you know, at a party, they're like, oh, here's this Jeff guy, he's going to talk about real estate. But, you know, and people would say, oh, great, how many houses you have? And I went, well, you know, none. And I didn't have any, you know, but I did all the research and bought a lot of programs and, you know, got to a point where money was getting tight, and I found a program on wholesaling HUD houses, and actually had to borrow the money from my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, to buy the program. And so really, I just had, you know, burned the bridge. I had to make it work because it was, oh, another program, you know, you need, and now you're involving me in this. It's costing me money. So just studied it, learned everything I could, and that's how I got started, was buying and wholesaling HUD properties and buying them off the MLS, and it started off good. You know, there was the first one, I made every mistake in the book, you know, kind of just trusted the process. And it's even a joke now with one of my best buyers, is I got it under contract, and it was 2 days till my contract expired, and I put it on Craigslist. He came, looked at it. He's like, all right, I like it. And, you know, you read all these guys, oh, people can close in 2-3 days, cash buyers. And I was like, great, can you close in 2 days? And he's like, well, did you, you know, how's the title work? And I just kind of fumbled my way through, oh, it's a HUD deal. We've never had any issues with those in the past. And he's like, no, I understand that. He's like, but have you done the title work on it? And I was like, well, yeah, it's being done. But, you know, that's the kind of things that you don't learn in these courses. They don't tell you what to do. I mean, they say, get the deal, go out, market it, sell it, make cash, and, you know, you'll be forever rich. But there's kind of that second layer of, you know, doing the title work and doing inspections, and we have to do called dye tests. It's plumbing to make sure that your gutters don't go into your sewers. But these are little things that I had no clue about. And, you know, if you never took that first step, never did that first deal, you're never going to fumble your way through and figure that stuff out. And that's kind of the other side of the shiny object is, you know, how can you figure this out and just fumble your way through? And now the guy, you know, is one of my best buyers. He probably buys 10, 15 properties a year from me. But that's everyone's biggest fear is, what if I look stupid? What if I say something wrong? Which was my fear, I'm sure yours at some point as well. But it didn't, you know, kill the relationship. And now, again, he's one of my best buyers. So that's really how I got started.
Man, there's a ton of stuff in there I want to dissect. Let's talk maybe first about the idea. So you bought a course of some kind,
right.
And I like what you said there, you know, like, we talk about courses and gurus and things like that quite often here on Bigger Pockets. And, you know, generally we like to tell people you don't need them necessarily. That said, I'm sure there's good information out there, but what I like what you said is like courses tell you a little bit, they don't tell you everything on how to do it. Right.
Right. The courses just give you enough to get started. And, you know, there was good information in it. And it kind of gets you over that hump of how to do the mechanics of it. But there's a whole second layer and another aspect of once you get this property, what do you do now? You know, how do you sell it? How do you do the next steps to get it into the title and to get the permits? And that's what I didn't know. And the course didn't tell me that. And every area is different. So I guess it really can't tell you that. But that's what I think a lot of the courses are lacking is what do you do once you get it other than put it out there, try to find a cash buyer and close it and make big checks? You know, that's it glossed over. There's some of the behind the scenes that really, if you almost didn't know before you started, and it might prevent some people, and that's maybe what it is, but it's stuff that, you know, just needs to be figured out and done. And that's where I had the next step from there.
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of my whole thing is like, yeah, these courses are sold as the end all be all. Like, hey, you're going to take my course, you're going to be rich, you're going to have the tools you need, and you don't. You don't have all the tools that you need, and you know you're still out there fumbling and making mistakes and trying to figure it out. And it's like, okay, this is the problem. This is why Bigger Pockets was born. Is, you know, I have issue with that personally. So as such, you know, the BP was created. But okay, so you've gotten through this. You've taken the courses, you kind of fumbled through figuring stuff out, and you survived, right? You got that first deal. Do you remember what it looked like? Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I can. It was a $25,000 property. It was in a blue collar part of town, but it still has a good school district. So I knew it was, you know, a part of town I could probably sell a good rental area. Got it under contract, you know, and the real estate agent was actually a friend of mine, and you know, we still joke too because she called and they accepted it and said, well, I guess it's getting real now. You know, we got to figure out what we're going to do with it next. And so I put it on Craigslist and, you know, went to the real estate club meetings and was trying to, you know, and some people say that's not a deal. And you kind of, oh, shoot, maybe it's not a deal. And you start to second guess yourself, but you have to put a down payment on it too. And again, at that time I was pretty broke. So not only did I have to borrow the money for the course, but I also had to borrow money for the down payment, the permits and everything too. So, you know, and I think it really helped me looking back in retrospect because I had to make it work because it couldn't be another one of those, now I'm involving other people in my trials and tribulations, if you will. And just, you know, had to figure it out, had to make it work. And like I said, put it out there. And 2 days before my contract expired, I did find a buyer. And with the HUD deals, you actually can pay them money and extend those contracts out another 15 days. So we were able to do that, able to get it closed. And I think I made about $2,000, but it was proof of concept. You know, it didn't solve all my problems. I wasn't rich immediately, but it proved that it worked. It proved to the people who lent me the money that it worked. But there's another aspect to, you know, MLS deals and HUD houses is you actually have to come up with that funding, whether it be transactional funding or borrowing it. And that's another thing too, because again, as you said, Josh, the courses don't tell you that. You know, they say there's transactional funding, but, you know, the title company is saying, okay, great. Well, how are you going to come up with this $28,000? Well, I don't know, you know. And they also say too, mark it up 5,000, you make 5,000. With the MLS and with the HUD properties, you have to back to back close them. So I actually have to pay full transfer tax on that front end, because they're exempt. And, you know, exempt should mean nobody pays it, but exempt means they don't pay it. You pay front and, you know, their side and yours. And then the title. And then I had to pay it all over again to sell it again. So to price it up $5,000, I think I walked away with about $1,900 at the end of the day. But it was a huge learning lesson. And I think, you know, it really taught me what's on the other side once you do get the deal and how you need to move it through to a place where you can't close it.
Yeah. So I want to go back and touch on a few things you just said there. For people who are listening that might be completely lost and they're like, wait, what's wholesaling? What is a HUD house? What does all that mean? So maybe we can just take that from the beginning. First of all, when you're talking about wholesaling, what does that even mean?
Well, what that means is that I'm going to put a property under contract, and within the 30, 45, 60 days, whatever the time frame that I've agreed to or the bank has agreed to, I'm going to try to find another buyer to buy that property at a higher price than I did. That first deal, I got under contract for $25,000 with HUD, and I put it under contract with my end buyer for $30,000. And I thought it would be as easy as I get to make the spread in between. But yeah. And that's really the difference with bank-owned properties, HUD houses, which are bank-owned properties on the MLS, and doing direct-to-seller marketing, is because there's two different avenues and two different ways to close these deals, especially as a wholesaler. You can't assign the deal, which means I would just assign my rights or my interest to another buyer for a fee, which would be the difference from the $25,000 to the $30,000, where if I'm doing it with my neighbor next door and buying his house, I can just assign those rights, take that $5,000 difference and walk away, and they can step in. But we might be getting ahead of ourselves there.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and that gets a little bit confusing. I mean, the idea of assignment versus back-to-back closing, right. You know, there's a lot of articles on Bigger Pockets. In the show notes of the show, I'll put a link to a few articles about that. So if people want to dive into that, just go to biggerpockets.com/show158. And I will link to a few really good articles on what that exactly means. But so when you're saying you did a back-to-back close with a HUD home, which is a home you purchased from the housing, what is it? Housing and Urban Development or something like that, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes,
so. It's you bought the repo from them. So you buy this house and then you immediately resell it. I mean, like within the same day, right?
Within 5 minutes.
Five minutes of each other. So you're only owning the property for a short time. Right. But because you do that, you then have to pay the transfer tax for the county or the city or whatever they have their tax. You have to pay that twice because you just bought it and then you sold it again. Correct. So that's why you didn't make the $5,000. That's why you only made around $2,000 because of the extra charges of doing that.
Right, exactly.
Makes sense.
And, you know, again, that's something that was tested and figured out. I had no clue that, you know, they're exempt, what the closing costs could be. And that's, you know, I had my sister has a friend that works for one of the large We Buy Houses companies. I'm sure everyone has them in their city. They have billboards and everything. And he was actually awesome. I mean, he was really helpful. And I did have someone I could ask. And that's always a lot of questions people have on Bigger Pockets as well. How do you find a mentor? What do you do? You know, and you've said it before too. You started going to lunch with everyone. And I tell people, you know, anyone who's in the business who's doing it right, lunch isn't really going to sell them. You know what I mean? I always tell people, you know, go find a property, get that first HUD house, get that first one under contract, then take it to somebody who's in the business and say, hey, I'm willing to, you know, cut you in on this deal. Can you help me? What do I need to do next? You know, where a lot of people like to put the cart before the horse, they want to find the mentor first and then they want to go find a deal because it gives them the warm and fuzzy feeling. But, you know, I think it's just a matter of get out there, get the deal, get it under contract. And then, you know, and if you don't have a sister who has a friend with a big flipping business, you know, who ultimately I'm his competition. So it's not that necessarily, you know, he was just a good guy and he helped me out and I didn't have to pay him, but I would be willing to. And you know, the experience is worth more than even making that big first check. But get out there, get the deal, and then try to find someone. And I get a lot of people too. I've posted a few on Bigger Pockets about HUD houses and answered a lot of questions. And people come to me and say, I have no money for marketing. I have no experience. How can I wholesale HUD houses? You know, and I try to actually point them in the direction of the Bigger Pockets podcast and a few other ones to learn and to get there. But, you know, myself or anyone else is not going to be the savior for you. It's taking that action, getting out there, talking to people, you know, making some offers and getting them. And then once you get it, make the mistakes like I did. Look stupid in front of people, you know, pretend, oh, we've never had a problem with title. Yeah, sure. he knew, but I didn't know, you know, and it's still a joke today that we make. But again, he turned out to be my biggest buyer. And that's the other thing too. A lot of people say, well, there's a lot of competition in my area. And what I found is that the competition is going to be your buyers and your sellers. And so instead of looking at them as there's competition, I don't know, I shouldn't get started. How can you get to know them? How can you get to meet them? Go to the meetings and say to them, hey, if you need someone to take some pictures of a property for you, put a lockbox on it, I'm your guy. You know, not, hey, can I buy you a $10 Panera lunch and will you give me all your info?
Yep. I love that, Jeff.
I love the part where we talk about, you know, the competition being your allies as well. And we always say that, but you know, a lot of new investors are really fearful. You know, they're afraid that, and not just new investors, there's old investors who've been around the block a long time who are like, oh, well, you know, if I start helping other people, it's going to hurt me because they're going to get all my deals. And that's nonsense. You know, there's always a limit. There's always a cap on how much you can do, how much business your company can do. And frankly, like you said, the other folks in the market, they're your buyers. They're the other folks who are going to be doing deals and doing business with you. So yeah, it absolutely makes sense to get out there and get to know your quote unquote competition, because your competition is going to be your partners as well.
Exactly. Yep. And that's what I found. You know, I mean, the guys who have the signs out there, the guys who are doing, they're the ones who are doing business, you know. So if you want to go with, the, you know, myself 4 years ago, who could talk the talk but never bought a property, you could do that all day, you know. And there's a lot of them out there, and I was one. So I'm not bashing them. But, you know, you got to get out there with the guys who are doing deals. And again, offer to bring them in. If someone comes to me with a deal and says, hey, I'll pay you half the fee, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. Can you help me walk this through title, permitting? Heck yeah, we're going to do it. Yeah. You know, we'll do it all day.
It makes so much sense, because yeah, I mean, I go out to lunch with people occasionally and we'll talk, and that's great. I like eating lunch and I like getting free dinner, but like somebody comes to me and they say, I mean, they did a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine who wants to get into real estate came to me and said, hey, I got this deal. I think we should, do you want to partner on it? If I can get it, would you partner with me in exchange for showing me how it's done? Like, what? Of course I will. Like, I would be happy to do that, because I don't have to do any work like physical work, and you brought a deal to me. It shows that you're enthusiastic. It shows you have what it takes to succeed. And yeah, I think it's a fantastic way. So, okay. So these people, they should bring a deal if they want to bring a mentor, but they don't have any money or they don't have experience. How do they find that deal? So maybe we can shift focus and talk about that a little bit. But before we do, let's give a broad overview of who you are and what you do today in terms of what's your main focus? How many are you doing? What kind of stuff are you working on today?
Right. Yeah. I mean, probably 85% of my business is wholesaling. I did start doing rehabs in the last year and a half, and it's, you know, coming from a wholesaling perspective, it's a lot more work. You know, I enjoy doing it. And people ask, well, you have this wholesaling, why even rehab? But even to back up, that's another question about someone getting into wholesaling is, well, why would these rehabbers buy a property from you? You know, what's the point of it? You know, why wouldn't they just buy it themselves? Why are you getting such a good deal? And you know, the real answer of it is because these guys are out rehabbing properties 8-9 hours a day. They're not spending hours putting in HUD bids, taking postcard letters, sending out 5,000 postcards to get 200 phone calls, to get 5 meetings, 2 deals, you know. And that's even a question that I have myself. And if everyone says, you tell people, oh yeah, I'm going to go find a property on the MLS and sell it someone for 5,000 more, who's A, more experienced than me, and B, has more money than me. They're going to say, well, why would they do it? But, you know, those guys are out there and they rely on good wholesalers. And you also get the question too, well, if it's such a good deal, then why are you selling it to me? Why are you not keeping it? You know, and it's like, well, because I'm a wholesaler. I don't have contractors. I don't have private money. I don't have everything on that back end lined up. I dig up the deals and I bring them to guys like you. And that's a valid question that a lot of people have is, well, why would they buy it from you? What do you bring to it? And again, most times when you're starting, you're going to sell it to guys who are more experienced and have more money than you. But, you know, and I'm not saying you pretend you're Donald Trump and have been in the game forever, but, you know, learn the lingo from Bigger Pockets, from books, from other places, and just try to fumble your way through the first deal or two. And so right now we wholesale probably about, you know, anywhere from 4 deals per month. And then we have about 2 to 3 rehabs going on, you know, per 6 months time. And, you know, just this morning where I was out, we had an inspection for one and the pipe froze. And so I'm out there trying with a heat gun, trying to get it unfrozen, you know, and that's not something I prefer to do.
Wait a second. So you're saying you're in real estate, but you're not sitting on a beach. You're not just relaxing and doing nothing. You're actually out there with a
despite
torch.
What the courses would say.
Right. Exactly. I'm out there with a heat gun trying to unfreeze a pipe so my property can pass inspection and close for $310,000 next week. And yeah, you know, I'm out there meeting it. You're right. You're not on the beach. And again, a lot of those ones, especially with the HUD ones, oh, I do it from my, you know, beach. I do it from the other country. There's guys that do it, but it's not me, you know, maybe someday, but you're going to have to get in there. You're going to have to work and learn. And that's, you know, you have to have a passion for it. You have to like it, you know, and we're lucky in this business as real estate investors to have this opportunity. You know, my sister-in-law is a doctor and probably makes 300 grand a year, but she went to school for how many years? You know, 25.
Yep.
And
yep.
She can't believe that anyone can make as much money as she can. And we have the ability to do that, you know, if not more, if not four times as much more. So, you know, we're fortunate. I can't say I want to be a doctor tomorrow. I want to be a lawyer and be able to go out and do that and make the kind of money they can, if not more. But real estate does give you that opportunity, but you got to work at it, you know, and those guys sell courses from the shiny object syndrome. And hey, if that's what they do, they do. And there's good information, you know, don't get me wrong. That course really helped me walk me through step A to Z, but it didn't give me every piece of the puzzle. You had to take the action. It wasn't going to make the calls for me, wasn't going to make the bids for me. I had to get out there, do it and take action, you know, and you guys asked that question at the end, what's the difference? It has me screaming at my iPod all the time. It's action. Action is what's gonna do it, and taking action, making mistakes, and solving problems.
I love that. I love that you've said multiple times in this show now, just get out there and do it. And so, I mean, I'm telling people that all the time. Like, I've used this analogy before in the podcast, but I'll say it again in case you haven't heard it. It's like driving through fog, you know, like you can't always see a mile ahead of you, but if you just keep driving forward in that fog, you can always see 50 feet in front of you. And you know, when you get to that 50 foot mark, you'll see 50 more feet, you know, just keep pushing through, and you might get 70% of the through the first deal, and then it all fall apart. And the next time you'll get 80% through,
you might hit
all
a deer
apart.
On the road.
You might hit a deer in the road, but you know what? Eventually you'll get there. And then from then on, it just becomes so much easier. Once you get that first deal, first couple deals, I'm like, it's kind of snowball. So I love that you take that approach to it. I think that's fantastic.
Right. And it's always learning, you know, I mean, the same deal that I'm defreezing the pipe on, had a lot in the back that, somehow, some way, the deed didn't get transferred correctly. And it was still in the owner's name from 1950. And if a house that was bought in 1950, we're now in 2016, most likely they're not alive. And they're not, you know. So we had to figure out who owns this lot, who the heirs are. And, you know, I couldn't just, again, sit on some beach and do it. I had to go out and get these people to sign it and you know, get them to sign it over to me, not just in general, but for a dollar, and say, hey, there was a little mistake here. Your parents owned this lot in 1950. Oh, the bank took it away, but they messed the deed up and you're still attached to it. And the lady called me on Friday and she said, what do you mean I'm attached to it? I said, well, you know, it just kind of, you know, she said, I own it. Right. And I was like, yes, you own it, you know, because you're not going to lie to them. And she said, and why is nobody paying me for this? And you know, it's a lot more complicated than that. They've been paying the taxes for 10 years and blah, blah, blah. But you're always going to learn, you know, and that's you have to be a problem solver. And that's really what this business is about. I've had wholesale deals where we've closed them, you know, in 5-6 days. And that counted me picking these people up and driving them to the vital records to get the death certificate of their aunt. Or uncle, and
wow,
you have to be willing to do it, you know.
Hey, let's rewind. I want to hear how that story closed. Well, where you are with that story with the old lady with the dollar. I mean,
with the lot.
Why? I mean, how is she gonna give it to you for a buck if she thinks she owns it? How does that work?
Well, she does own it. And what it is, it's a property that, you know, we have under contract to sell for $310,000. You know, I bought it for $73,000. We put about $120,000 into it. So I have a lot of money and time tied up in this property. And we bought three properties at once. I wholesaled two of them and I kept the best one, if you will, for myself to rehab. And we closed it and the guy said, oh yeah, this lot comes behind it. And it's an up and coming part of the city town where parking is at a premium. So we were like, great, we're going to turn it into a parking. It's going to make us that much greater than everyone else. And we they closed the deal and they didn't have the, they missed a lot. The title company missed a lot. Again, there was two wholesale deals, me closing on the rehab. There was a lot going on. And so we noticed, hey, that lot didn't transfer. Actually, the guy who sold it to me did. And I went to the title company and said, hey, this didn't transfer. And you know, they're kind of like contractors. Sometimes they'll tell you what you want to hear, you know, oh yeah, it's just a simple sign here and there. So I was like, okay, great. We're going along with this. And I'm thinking he's working on this lot the whole time. And 6 months later, we're now to the point we're putting it on the market. And I'm like, hey, what's up with this lot? Do you have this done yet? You know, we're putting this on the market. And he's like, well, there's a little mistake. And what it is, the front property was owned by the people from 1950. And they lost it to foreclosure. They had bought the lot 3 years later. And when they lost the front to foreclosure, they assumed the lot went with it as well. And so did the county. So when Wachovia Bank sold it to my seller, the guy before me, they gave him the paperwork and said, here, this lot comes with this. He's been paying taxes for 10 years on the lot. He thought the lot was his, you know, so he said it comes with it. So little did we know that when push comes to shove and the title guy actually did the work he was supposed to do, he doesn't own it. He has no right to it. He's been paying the taxes for 10 years. And, oh, you know, man, again, we could sit there and say, oh, boo-hoo me, what am I going to do? No, I had to figure it out, you know, and we needed to find who owned it, who the heirs were, and I had to call him. And that's an awkward call. You know, hey, this lot was supposed to be transferred from your mother and father's name. It wasn't. I have this whole list from my attorney of your heirs and your aunts and uncles, who's still alive, who's not. And you've technically been responsible for the taxes for 10 years. We don't want any of that. We're not going to come for that. We just want you to sign it over and get it taken care of so you're no longer on the deed. I think the biggest part of this business is how you word things, you know. And if I would have said, hey, it's your lot and, you know, I need you to give it to me for a dollar, they'd be like, well, you really need it to sell this property for 310. Give us 20 grand for it. But, you know, approaching it from the avenue of, hey, this was a mix-up. You're still on title. You've been responsible for 10 years. We don't want anything from you. We'll pay your inheritance tax transfer. And I'm still dealing with it. You know, I went, and the aunt is difficult. You know, it's an aunt and then her niece and nephew who are 30, the niece and nephew, and the aunt is, you know, 50 or 60. I think I haven't met her yet, actually, because I'm still dealing with it. And she called and said, well, why is no one paying me for this? And we got over that. And she said, well, I'm not going to find a notary and I have to drive all around and pay. And I said, no, I'll bring a mobile notary to you. You know, we'll make it as easy as possible. And they were all supposed to meet me at a notary right up the street. And she was waiting for a refrigerator to come that didn't come and was having a bad day. The brother and sister met and the sister says, she's having a bad day. I'd maybe just call her tomorrow. So I still need her signature at this point. But I've talked to her. She's willing to, but it's a touchy subject. And you know, technically they could, hopefully they're not listening to this, because they could, you know, charge what they wanted for it. But it's all part of being a problem solver and figuring it out. And you know, 3 years later and have done, you know, over 75 wholesale deals and still figuring it out. And how do I do it? And what do I need to do? And I can't just sit back and hope somebody's going to take care of that problem for me while I'm sitting on the beach. You know, I have to go out and I can't just say, well, they're going to take it to a notary and sign it. You know, I have to take the bull by the horns and go drive to that notary. And I had to go there twice and meet the brother and sister at different times. And the aunt is obviously going to be another time too, but you know, that's what it needs done. And to make, you know, the deal closed, then that's what you got to do. And that's why we're the problem solver, you know, and that's why people sell it to us, because not everyone's in a position. You'll do the marketing and people say, well, how much are you going to give me? You're in this business. Tell me now. Tell me now. And it's back to, I think you guys have mentioned the book, Pitch Anything. You know, whoa, slow down. You know, we're the prize here. You don't have somebody lined around your block with cash in your hand willing to buy your piece of junk property. You know, let's find out if it's even something we want to buy and then we'll cross that bridge, you know, but people are going to try to push you around and, you know, you tell me what you're going to do. And just dealing with people and solving the problems is basically what the business is, you know?
Right on. Yeah. Good. I like that. Yeah. Great plug on Pitch Anything. Awesome book for anybody who's doing wholesaling or any kind of sales stuff. It's
a great book. It is. And it really changes your mindset because you can get beat up taking these calls all day, you know, and having these people tell you, you know, go pound salt. Or I've had people call the police on me, you know, for sending them a postcard with their name on it. You know, do they call Papa John's? No, but why are they calling and yelling and screaming at me and trying to ruin my day? It's just, you don't want to sell your house. Great. Throw it in the trash, you know, but it's people do get defensive. And that's, again, you know, it's not all sunshine and roses like they do make it sound in the books. Hey, buy it. You're going to sit back and collect $15,000 checks. But if you have a passion for it, you enjoy doing it, it's a great business. You know, it's something that can really, you can mold your lifestyle around. We have a baby that was born 4 weeks ago, and I'm able to be home in the mornings and stay with him and help my wife out for the first few weeks of it, where I've had desk jobs that sucked, you know, and I couldn't. And I hated going to work. And no matter if you made 100 phone calls or 10, you made the same money, you know, and it's just not rewarding. Yeah.
Yeah. I totally appreciate that, man.
We're always looking for ways to improve, searching for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for better is by matching with quality candidates. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Just go to Indeed.com/BiggerPockets right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes to help you see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like, so you can find a home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to help you get the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today. Want to dive deep into commercial real estate, entrepreneurship, leadership, and the economy? Tune into the Walker Webcast, hosted by the CEO of Walker & Dunlop, one of the largest commercial real estate finance and advisory services firms in the nation. As an unparalleled leader in commercial real estate, CEO Willie Walker frequently appears as an expert on major platforms like CNBC and the New York Times. He's even been on the Bigger Pockets podcast network, too. On the Walker Webcast, you'll hear from guests like A-Rod, renowned economist Dr. Peter Linneman, and experts from Walker & Dunlop's capital markets, research, and investment sales groups. So fire up the Walker Webcast on your favorite podcast app or join live on Wednesdays to see Willie interact with his guests. Plus, you can always catch the replay on demand afterward. Stay ahead of the curve with insights for life from the Walker Webcast. Learn more and subscribe to the Walker Webcast at walkerdunlop.com/pockets. And be sure to follow Walker & Dunlop on all your favorite social media channels too. That's walkerdunlop.com/pockets. You're trying to close on your next rental, so why is your insurance company dragging its feet? With long lead times and never-ending paper forms, it's no wonder it takes forever to finally get a policy. Modern investors deserve better. They deserve Steadily.com. At Steadily.com, you'll get fast, affordable landlord insurance available online 24/7 in just a few clicks. You can even get next day coverage, which takes just minutes, by the way, to obtain. And you can do it all from your phone. Steadily was founded by landlords who created insurance products tailored to the unique needs of this industry. It's their sole focus, and that's why landlords nationwide consistently rate them 4.8 out of 5 stars. So whether you've got a single family, short-term, or multifamily portfolio, Steadily.com can secure the best coverage at the best price to protect your properties. Discover how Steadily can save you both time and money on your rental property insurance. Visit Steadily.com for a commitment-free quote tailored to your needs today.
All right, let's get to this because we are ticking away here, and we have a whole lot of questions to ask. And you like to talk, so
I do.
This is going to be a bit of a challenge. I can tell. I love it, man. No, it's
real estate fever. People at the parties go the other way. He's going to talk about real estate.
Oh boy,
again.
Here he comes again.
Yep.
All right. So where are you finding your deals? What's your strategy? Are you doing just one thing? Do you have multiple sources? Like, just what's the low and dirty on that?
Right. And so I was, you know, doing the HUD deals, and about 3 months into it, I actually got 4 HUD deals under contract in 1 month, and had them all sold. And I was like, hey, great. Look, this is it. You know, life is set. I'm going to be sitting on the beach. I figured it out. But you're really at the mercy of what's out there. Like Brandon said, you know, you make bids on it. There's a lot more. There's less bank-owned properties out there. So we had to transition and try to find a way to dig our own deals. And to base your business on bank-owned properties is tough to do because it's not predictable. You know, direct mail is predictable. You can say, well, my numbers and testing have shown that if I send X amount, 5,000 postcards, I think I mentioned briefly before, I should get, you know, 200 calls, 20 meetings, and 3 deals out of that. And so we had to really find a different way to get a more predictable business and find a way to do that. And direct mail has been that way for us.
Okay, so let's go back and talk about basics. For those who don't know, what is direct mail marketing? What does that mean?
Sure. And direct mail marketing is basically sending the homeowner a postcard that just says, hey, how you doing? We buy houses in your area. And would you be interested in selling your house for cash in as-is condition? And what we do is we basically send a lot, you know, and people have said it on Bigger Pockets on the podcast, absentee owners. We like out-of-state absentee owners, especially in my area. My sister and brother-in-law own a few properties and moved, got relocated to North Carolina. And I said, hey, are you guys getting postcards from anyone on those properties you have saying, you know, we'll buy it? And they said, no. So I kind of knew that there was a lag in the, you know, my area in that. So we focus a lot on out-of-state absentee owners. And what that is someone who owns a property like my sister and brother-in-law and maybe live out of state, got transferred out of state, but they still have those rentals in this area. So their name is going to show on the tax record as the owner. But if you look under the tax record for the property, the owner's address, it's going to be somewhere other than that property. And that's how you know that they're either absentee or out of state.
Okay. So you mail to these guys. What's the approach? Is it, you know, hey, are you tired of owning your property? I mean, how do you kind of hit them?
Yeah. And, you know, that's where the difference can make a difference in direct mail, you know, because everyone goes back and forth. Do you get the big vanity number? Do you play the small guy? And I've done both, and I found myself, and I'm sure there's people will debate me on, you know, Bigger Pockets all day about it, but the small guys work better for me of just saying, hey, we buy properties in the area for our own rental portfolio. If you'd be interested in selling it as is for cash on the day of your choice, give us a call, you know, and it's not for everyone. And direct mail, no matter what you're doing, you will make people angry. It's just, it's the name of the game. I don't know why. It's just let it roll off your back.
Yeah.
And anyone who sent any amount of direct mail and hasn't made somebody angry, then they're trying to sell you a book and they're a guru or something. People are going to get mad for whatever reason. They get angry that you know their name, that you have their address, that you know they own a property. You know, people aren't as aware of public records as we are, and they really can get defensive about it. But again, it's all part of it. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. It's digging through that, getting those leads, and getting it to the end buyer or yourself if you're going to keep it.
So why a postcard, not a letter? Or do you do both?
Well, I do both. But on most times, and I think someone talked about it briefly on your one of your recent shows is we'll send a postcard first because they're a lot cheaper. You know, yeah. Yellow letters are more expensive. The envelopes, the stamps, the whole process is, and you're going to get a lot of them back. Bad addresses, which is a, you know, a whole nother subject, but there's a gold mine in those ones that come back because that's where a lot of people stop and they don't try to dig and find those owners. But we'll send that first, and it's inexpensive way. You know, the difference could be anywhere from 50 cents a postcard to $1.50 for a yellow letter, which, okay, you know, the letters work well, but it just depends on who you're going for. And if you're going for a more mass approach or a more smaller targeted approach, we would probably use the letter. But if we're going to send 5,000 to just the general absentee, we'll use a postcard to try to weed out who's there, who's not, and, you know.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff, you open the door, man. I got to go there. Bad addresses. What are we doing with the bad addresses?
Well, you know, it's what we do is we actually subscribe to a couple different sites, and you can kind of skip trace these people and try to find if they have addresses or phone numbers that are for them. And there's guys out there that make, you know, their only business is just trying to call these people. And it's cost a few dollars per name, but it could be worth a $3,000-$5,000 deal. So once those bad addresses come back, then we'll work on those, set them to the side, and we'll try to find, just doing even the basic research, go on white pages, see if their address wasn't updated on the county website. And if it's not, then you can move on to some of the more high tech like Intellius and some of these other programs, TLO, pretty expensive. But again, if you're, that's your business model, it's gold, because a lot of people just throw them away and say, oh, nobody's there, forget it.
Too much work, yeah.
Yeah, those are the people that nobody's talking to, and you're getting through to them because nobody else is, you know?
What percentage, are you having a higher success rate with those bad addresses than with your typical mail?
Well, you know, I think it's just, there's less competition. You know, if we get a hold of them and we talk to them, there's not many other people. You know, if you're marketing the hot areas of town, most people are going to say, well, I've got two other guys coming, and that's fine. And it's not going to stop me from going. You know, it's not going to change what I may offer on the property. But a lot of times when we do get through to them, they haven't talked and they're kind of surprised. Hey, how did you know, find me there? And it can be kind of awkward giving that cold call sometime of, hey, you own a property here. You know, some people may be your best friend. Hey, you want to give me 30 grand? This is great. Or don't ever call me again. You've got to be willing to roll those dice, you know?
Yep. Well, let me go back a step. I was going to ask you this. Where do you find that list? I mean, how do you get a list of people? I mean, you talked about public records. How do you get that?
Right. And there's a lot of list service providers out there. U.S. lead list and, you know, no affiliation with them. That's just where we pull ours. And you can pull anything from absentee owners, out-of-state absentee owners, free and clear properties. You can have mortgage values, if they're in foreclosure, starting in default. There's also some monthly subscriptions to vacant properties and things that we've actually joined and found have been pretty useful and have worked for us. But usually they're anywhere from about 9 to 15 cents per name, but we'll continue to hit that list 3 to 4 times. You know, we'll find out who's on there, take them off so we're not wasting the money on them, like we talked about, the ones that aren't getting the correct address. And then we'll continue to hit that list 3 to 4 times, and most times we'll have people even that keep postcards for a year or two. I mean, we get a deal we just closed in 7 days that the guy got my postcard a year and a half ago, set it to the side, needed money, was ready to sell, called, and we went out, saw it, and, you know, they had two other people who they were going to have postcards from, and we just got out there first. You know, some of these bigger companies, they just don't have the time. They can't get there. Sometimes being the smaller guy, you know, I was out there that next afternoon, made the deal with him. She said, well, should I tell those other guys not to come? I said, yeah, probably. And we closed it in 7 days, you know, and we solved their problem.
Oh, send your competition. Come on.
Yeah. And she's one of my best referral sources now. I mean, she was so happy that we closed it. We paid her $55,000, which was a ton of money for a house that, you know, they were going to fix up. And they never did. And there's a lot of people like that think, oh, these shows make it look easy. A half hour plus commercials, 90 grand, time to find another house to flip. Yep. And then they realize it's not that easy. And they're like, well, we were going to fix it. And we just realized it was too much for us, you know?
Yeah. Sure. Let me, you mentioned this a couple of times and I want to kind of dive into it because I love funnels. If you guys have, if you know, listeners have ever been on a Bigger Pockets webinar, I talk about them on every webinar we do every week. You can sign up at biggerpockets.com/webinar for the next one. But I love the idea of a funnel where you get a certain number of, you reach a certain number of people, a certain percentage of them are going to call you, a certain percentage of those are going to, you know, show you their property, like invite you to look at it or whatever. And then a certain percentage of those are going to accept an offer. So can we kind of talk about that funnel of yours in percentage wise or ratios? Is there an average that you typically see? Is it always different, or what do your averages look like?
Well, you know, I mean, we have found averages just from testing and sending them. You know, we find that if we send 1,000 postcards, we're probably going to get somewhere in the nature of about 40 calls, 40 to 50. Doesn't sound like great numbers, but, you know, again, that's right off the bat. That's 2-3 days after that postcard hits. Then there's still going to be the people that set it aside, you know, and that's important to keep the phone numbers. If I could back up quickly, what we use is, sure, is called Vumber. It's a virtual phone number, and okay, then we yep, have our Vumber, calls yep, go to a 24-hour recorded message. And our postcards say 24-hour recorded message. It's a little less threatening for these people to call, hear our message, rather than think, well, I'm going to talk to this, you know, shifty guy who's going to talk me into selling my house for nothing very quickly. It's a little bit less aggressive. So we send all of ours to a 24-hour recorded message, and then we actually have a Podio set up. And I know some people have mentioned that, but it's a database system where you can actually put your Vumber in there, and it's awesome. It will come to my phone, my computer, my email, and say you have a new phone call, a new voicemail. And then if you have other team members, you can send back and forth between there. But that's how it all starts. And we find, you know, it's probably not a high percentage that you're going to get the calls on, but the ones that do call, listen to your voicemail, and leave a message are going to be a lot more motivated than. And we do call the hangups too. You know, the deal okay, I mentioned that we got 3 houses, I wholesaled 2, rehab 1, it was a hangup. You know, they just, oh, nice, you know, we don't want to call. And it's just talking to them, hey, saw you called. And they said, well, I thought it was going to be, you know, this or that. And just, you know, what's your issue? What's your house? And those people had Section 8 people in there, wanted to get rid of it. But you have to call them back. If you're spending the money to buy the name, to send yep, a list, to have the system, you got to do the work, and you can't be afraid. And that's the first thing, to answer the phone when they call.
That's so true.
I love how persistent you are. You know, you'll follow up with those bad addresses. You're calling the hangups. I mean, I think that's the kind of thing where, you know, that's separating the wheat from the chaff, right? That's the successful guy versus the unsuccessful guy. That's, you know, the newbie saying, oh, this doesn't work. I just spent all this money and I got nothing. Well, did you do all this? Did you do everything that you possibly could do with the list that you got? And right, you're doing that. And that's awesome.
And I think it does. That's the difference from the low-hanging fruit where there's going to be 2 or 3 guys coming in after me to, I'm the only one there, you know, to solve their problem and have found it. And, you know, somebody else said it before too. You start a real estate business and all these books and gurus make it sound like you should be making tens of thousands immediately. But if you opened a hair salon or even a bowling alley, whatever, you wouldn't expect to make money for 1 or 2 years, you know. But if somebody starts this and puts some money into it and doesn't make it in 2 to 3 months, oh, this doesn't work. My area doesn't work. You wouldn't give up on your hair salon, your bowling alley in 2 to 3 months. You would expect not to make money. It's going to take some work and some time. And you can see how passionate I am about it. I don't shut up. You know, I talk a lot, but it's because I enjoy it and I like it, you know, and that's part of it too.
Hey, Jeff, so 40 to 50 calls for every 1,000. How many of those calls end up in appointments? How many of those appointments end up in actual sales? Can you kind of walk us through yeah, the rest?
Well, and we try to, there's a couple different ways you can do it. You know, we found that if you just ask them, hey, what's your lowest and best cash price? You know, it's a little different than sometimes if you go and see the house and talk with them and meet them, but you could sometimes waste your time doing that. You know, I've had ones where the guy tells me he wants 150 and I think, he's just being, you know, tough guy with me. I think he'll take less. And I've gone and he's stuck on it, you know, and I've had other ones that I've gone on it, looked at the house, didn't work, but the neighbor was out and said, oh, who's this? And she said, oh, you know, he buys houses. And he's, well, come look at my house. I'm selling mine. And I actually got a deal that way from a neighbor. Yes. The lady was not really realistic. And we bought the neighbor's house for 15 grand less, which was identical to what hers was. But you never know unless you go out there. I found deals in the newspaper. You know, it was an older couple that doesn't use Craigslist. And, you know, have I found one since? No. But do I still look every week? Absolutely. You know, because I made $9,000 on that wholesale deal out of the newspaper. And that's what I tell some of these guys. I don't have money. Well, drive around, look for vacant. You know, especially right now here, it snowed 4 inches today. You can tell if houses are vacant. You know, in the summer, the grass is high. Write the address. I keep a notepad in my car right next to me. Every time I see something, you know, my wife will almost be like, oh, roll her eyes again. We're backing up. We're going in there. You're going to talk to the neighbors. Yeah, I am. You know, I'm going to go there. Ask the neighbors, hey, what's up with this house? They don't want it as vacant as much as I want to buy it. You know,
that's a good point.
They're going to help you to find them. They're going to know. They might say, oh, I don't know anything. And once you light them up, you'll find they know everything. They know, you know, if it was foreclosed or there was a divorce, what the case is. But keep your eye out. Once you're looking for properties, you know, you'll find them.
Well, I mean, so this is one of my fears in doing a lot of direct mail marketing is that I don't have the systems yet set up to be able to go out and do 40 or 50 phone calls. I mean, like actually, not phone calls, 40 or 50, you know, appointments. So how many do you think, like out of the, let's say you got 40 phone calls in a month, how many of those would you actually go to their house and make them an offer, do you think?
I'd probably go, I'd say 5 to 10. You know, 540 people that called, listened to my voicemail, left a message. You know, I'd probably say about 5 to 10. And then once you go out there and you look at it, you might find it's not what you're looking for. You don't have a buyer for it. Or you might find that, you know, they're not realistic, but they might be realistic, you know. And that's another thing too, is we always send an offer to them in the mail. And we've had people call us back and say, hey, is that offer still good? Will you still take it? And that has really been the difference that we started doing that last year, sending that offer in the mail. Even if they say, no, you're crazy, don't ever call me again. You know, 6 months down the road, they really need money. Their situation changed. Now they don't hate me as bad and they're willing to take my, you know, half price offer or at least talk further about it.
Yeah. So you're saying you make an offer to them in person and later on you send them a letter no matter what, correct?
Right.
If they turn you down. I love that. Yeah. I think that's fantastic.
Man. Again,
that's really good.
This follows up with everything else that we talked about.
Yep. And, you know, you do the extra things. Yeah. Extra
right.
Now. Yeah. I love that. Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. I mean, I was just going to say briefly, it does add an extra couple minutes a week, but we've got multiple deals from it. And people have said, hey, we forgot about the guy who left, but your offer was here. And will you still take it? So it is that little extra step that sometimes separates you from the guy who does one or two deals a year to, you know, doing 3 to 5 times more than that.
Awesome. Wow. And that was brief, which was even more awesome.
I know. I try to keep it brief.
So, okay, the last question. Let's say you get 5 people to go out and look at their property, 5 to 10 people you wouldn't actually show up. Do you have an estimate of like how many of those are going to say yes to your offer and how many of those are going to laugh you off? And,
you know, and it's just going to depend on the house, the area, and who these people are, you know, and that's part of the game too, is you may go on 5 duds where they all tell you you're crazy, it's too low, and you might go on 5 or 4 of them say yes. You know, it's a numbers game. It's going to be a numbers game. If you're going to wholesale and you're going to market, it's a numbers game. And they've said, you know, other people have said it too. Once you start doing that, you really, you can look at it as, you know, you're in the marketing business because you need to be continuous. You need to be sending them out. You know, we used to send out 5,000. We'd get deals, run around, and then we'd get a few, wouldn't send any out. Then we'd say, oh, shoot, we don't have anything coming in, and start the cycle again. If you can keep your foot on that and keep it consistent, that's how you're going to get that funnel and keep it, you know.
Yeah. I love that. Love it.
Hey, Jeff, how much mail do you send a month?
We send for about 5,000 postcards a month on average, you know, and we'll switch it up. We'll do absentees. We'll do the out-of-state absentees. And to rewind quickly here, if I do find a driving for dollars, a vacant house, I'll always send them a yellow letter. I'll try to get them more than the mass market. I'll try to say, hey, I noticed you have a property at 123 Main Street. We buy in that area. Would you be interested in paying cash? And I get a lot of calls from those. I mean, if you can find a good address on that, our numbers are different. You know, it's not like when we're just doing the mass spread marketing, that's a more targeted, you know, that person needs or wants or has to sell that house. It's vacant. Yeah. It's, you know, people just don't like tens of thousands of dollars laying around. There's a reason it's vacant. There's a reason they haven't sold it. And it's my job to get a hold of them and find out why.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, this is awesome.
Chock full of wisdom here, huh?
Hey, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, I love it. All right. So I got a couple more things that popped up here. Just thinking about, you know, the 40 or 50, let's say phone calls you get, I'm just, you know, hypothetically a number. Do you have any good tips on how I can weed out so I don't have to go do 50 appointments and that I can reduce that to the ones that are really actually going to work out?
Well, and I think having a recorded message will do that. You know, having that recorded message saying, you know, we buy for cash, we buy in as is. And we even have, when we varied it to where we say, you know, we're not realtors. We're not looking, you know, for properties in pristine shape that you fixed up is the nicest on the block. You know, we're looking for properties that need some work, need some love. And if you have the one that's nicer than all 10 of your neighbors, which most people will tell you is, you know, we're not going to be your guys. And that kind of weeds them out. Or they might tell you, hey, on the voicemail, I'm looking, you know, to sell this with a realtor. Please take me off your list. And we get a lot of voicemails of please take me off your list. And that's fine. You know, I'd rather them tell me that than spend the money sending to them again and again.
Yeah. Yep. It's great. Yep. Okay. I like that. And then lastly, one thing that a lot of wholesalers, flippers, everyone struggles with is this idea of estimating the repair costs when they get there. I mean, you're going to go there and look at a property. You're going to run the numbers basically right then and there possibly, or maybe you'll go back to your office and run them more in depth. But I mean, that's, most people wouldn't know the difference between a $20,000 and a $50,000 rehab project. And those right. That's a wide number to be able to make an offer to somebody when you meet them. Do you have any tips on estimating repairs?
You know, and that's just part of doing it and going there and getting that experience, you know. And honestly, I found the Bigger Pockets book on estimating repairs. I read it and I used it when I first started to give you a basis of doing that. And that's not something we talked about or you said to do, but it really helps. I mean, because you're never going to have the exact repair. And what I found too is these rehabbers are going to have their own number too. I'm just trying to give them a base for it. I'm trying to say estimated repairs, you're looking in this neighborhood. But it is difficult, you know, get some pictures, get some photos of it. And it's okay to tell them, you know, hey, I need to do some more research on this, let me get back to you. You don't need to give them an offer there. Take some photos. Yep. And then again, go to someone that is experienced and say, hey, I got this. I think it's a deal. Here's the photos. Here's the numbers. Here's the research I did. I think it's a deal. Do you think it is? Can you A, help me, you know, close this deal? And B, do you have a buyer that can help me sell it? I partner up with other wholesalers all the time, you know, that maybe have more buy and hold in this area or renovate. It doesn't work for my, you know, top five guys. And that's the other thing too, is that a lot of these other places, you need to build your buyers list, build your buyers list. And everyone's so worried, oh, I need to build it. You're really going to have probably 5 to 10 guys who buy from you. You know what I mean? You're going to have 5 to 10 serious guys. There's a lot of tire kickers out there, but you're only going to have a couple guys who are serious and buying. They're going to continue to buy from you. They buy, make money. They're coming back. What do you have? What do you have? They're calling you. What do you have? What do you have? You know,
but I will charge you $25,000 to teach you how to build the biggest and best buyers list in the world, Jeff. So, right. You know, don't listen to Jeff. Listen to me. All right, really quick. You mentioned the book. The book is the book on estimating rehab costs. You can find it at www.biggerpockets.com/flippingbook. It's also on Amazon. And yeah, it's fantastic. I've got one last question before we move on to the next segment of the show, which is, what are you doing, man? I mean, you're wholesaling, you're kind of doing some of this flipping stuff.
Right.
You've been at it for a couple of years. Where are you going to be in 10 years? What's the plan?
Well, 10 years, you know, we're trying to start buying some of our own rentals for long term, you know, taking the wholesale fees, the rehab cash out, and buy $30,000, $40,000 rentals. We can in our area. You know, we're lucky to be in a market. No, we're in Pittsburgh, PA, number one market.
Oh, that sounds like houses. Detroit.
Send you the link after, but that's the best part about it. You know, you could buy a $30,000 house. You could be in a blue collar working neighborhood, and you know it will bring in $700-$800 a month. So we're trying to just buy, you know, 6 rentals, 5 to 8 is actually our goal. I know you said, Brandon, you and your wife made your goals and done the same. And I like to buy 6 rentals and then just start stocking away. So 10 years from now, I have 100 of them. And that way I can be on the beach or I can be sick or on vacation or dead and my family is you know, has income coming in and is being taken care of. And, you know, it's even if I hit the Powerball tomorrow, the $1.5 billion, you know, still buy the houses and still keep them as, because I enjoy doing it. And I really think that's the best retirement method, you know, especially with what stock market and everything's doing. Real estate's always going to be there. It's a physical asset. You can always improve it. And so we're just looking to, you know, really put systems in place for our marketing, systems in place to handle the leads when they come in, and systems in place to get these deals out to our buyers, you know. And it's like starting all over again when you need to learn the rehab, because it's a whole different game. You know, I said it before, these guys, the contractors, will tell you what you want to hear. Can you do it for 10 grand in 2 weeks? Yeah, sure. And then 10 grand 2 weeks comes and you're already that far into them. You know, that is one of the hardest things. You're never going to have all the rehab numbers. You know, I've done a bunch of projects. I still don't know all the rehab numbers. You know, we estimate and hope what it's going to be, but it's part of the learning and solving the problems, because it's always going to change and something's going to come up.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome. I love it. And I only bust your chops about the town where the Penguins play because,
you're not doing very good.
You asked me to, man.
Yeah. Hey, I know. They're not.
All right. Well, let's shift gears. We got a few more questions before we get out of here today. This show has been amazing. I mean, just chock full of actionable stuff. I mean, this is going to change people's lives.
Show 158 on the Bigger Pockets podcast. Check out the show notes at biggerpockets.com/show158.
That you should. All right. So let's move over to the world famous fire round.
It's time for the fire round.
And now let's get to it. These questions come direct out of the Bigger Pockets forums. We're going to throw them at you. Number one, what are some clever ways to really get your phone ringing when you're trying to start a lucrative wholesaling business?
Well, you know, I think there's always the best way is to just, you know, send some mail. It doesn't have to be 5,000 pieces. You know, you can start by sending 500. If they're going to cost you 40 cents a piece, it's $200. You know, it's the same as a latte every day. You know, set it to the side, send it out there, start taking those calls. I wouldn't recommend if you started tomorrow to send 5,000 postcards. Send 100, send 200, get used to on the phone and drive for dollars. That's going to always be a way that is out there, and find the owner, do a little legwork, and you'll get your phone ring.
Perfect. All right. As a beginner in wholesaling, what do you recommend are my first steps? And it may be what you just said.
Well, you know, and back to the HUD deals, I think they're still there. It's changed a little bit since I started 3 years ago, but I'd always be looking there. And to be brief, you can just throw in bids. You don't have to sign a 20-page contract. Find an agent or someone who is, and just do the research. And if it looks like it could possibly be a deal, put the bids in. It's not going to cost you a dollar to bid on it. You only have to pay any deposits when you get it under contract, and then you can try to find your buyers, or, you know, start trying to drive around, find vacant houses. And if you have some money, buy some lists, buy some absentees, some out-of-state owners, and, you know, send them some postcards.
Cool. All right. I'm new to rehabbing, and I'm looking for a 100% hard money loan or a private money loan. Is that realistic for me?
It is realistic. There are the lenders out there that will do it, you know, and it's going to be expensive. You're probably going to pay 15%, I'm sorry, and 3 points, which is another percent of the deal. But it is realistic. And if you have an actual deal and the numbers work, they're most times only going to lend, especially on your first deal, 50 to 60% of what they think the after repair value, but it's out there. You know, there's money, and there's hard money lenders who will fund them.
Yeah. And those rates are going to differ depending on where you are, who you're dealing with, what your experience is, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
All right. So how do I know if a location is a good location to flip a house in?
Well, I think, you know, everyone needs to have an agent on their end or have their own license, because you have to look at what's selling. You have to look at the multi-list system. And that's what's going to tell you what areas are hot and what are selling. There's also a lot of the areas out there too, and some of the sites that we mentioned, that you can find a lot of the cash buyers in. You don't have to necessarily build your list, but it's going to show you where a lot of those guys are paying for cash deals. Just like you can find an out-of-state owner, those sites will allow you to find cash transactions. So another tip is I'd have people go there, pull the cash transaction areas. You don't even have to buy the list, but it's going to show you the zip codes where the highest cash transactions are. And then now you know what areas that are the highest for buying, you know, cash deals. And those are going to be your rehabbers and your wholesalers.
Great tip.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool.
Awesome.
All right. Well, hey, let's begin to wrap this thing up by transitioning to the world famous.
Famous Four.
All right. These questions are asked of every guest every week. And I know you've listened to our show for a while now, so you know what's coming. So let's start out with question.
Yep.
Number one, what is your favorite real estate book?
Millionaire Real Estate Investor is a great book, and I think you always need to be continue learning. I have a lot of them, but that's probably one of the top favorite ones.
Right on.
Okay, cool. Right on. That's a great book. Gary Keller, Jay Papazan, bunch of good stuff. Good stuff. All right, next.
All right, favorite business book, non-real estate.
Non-real estate. And you had him on your show, and he talked about the book Grant Cardone 10X. Grant Cardone, killer sales stuff. All his books are great. 10X is great. Pitch Anything's great. You know, I think listen to those two books and it'll point you in the right direction for sales. That's for sure.
Right on. Cool. Cool. All right. Hobbies. What do you do for fun?
For fun? Like I mentioned, just had a son 4 weeks ago, so that takes a lot of our time. But I have a couple dogs, and we have County Park up here that has about 700 acres. We love taking them hiking all through the woods up there and just hanging out, relaxing.
Cool. All right. My final question of the day. Jeff, what do you believe sets apart successful real estate investors from those who give up, fail, or never get started?
Action. Action, action, action. I think you have to be passionate about it. You have to enjoy it. You know, someone could tell me you can make $1 billion in the stock market tomorrow. I wouldn't care. I don't enjoy it. Real estate, you got to be passionate about it. It's going to pull you through the long days, the no's, and take the action. It's the only way to get out there and learn. You're not going to learn everything in a book. You're going to learn from doing it and making those mistakes and tripping. And that's how you're going to build the confidence, getting out there, meeting sellers, and making the mistakes. It's going to happen. You can't avoid it.
Yeah.
I'm shocked by that answer.
Different. Yeah, I know. I'm sure you've heard. Read all the books you can and sit back and wait for checks to come in. But
there you go.
You got to take action, man. You know, and to avoid looking silly, just have to take action. You're all going to make mistakes, but that's how you're going to learn.
All right. All right. Cool.
Jeff, where can people find out more about you?
Well, I'm on Bigger Pockets. You can get a hold of me there. A lot of people do about HUD questions. And then you can also email me directly at pgh.wholesale@yahoo.com. We're also working on some stuff to help people with some direct mail marketing. If you're interested, send me an email there and I can explain more about it.
Awesome. Awesome.
Great.
All right, Jeff. Thanks so much for coming on, man. We really do appreciate it. And I think you're going to get a lot of email. And I think you're going to be very busy responding to folks. Also on the show notes, again, everybody at biggerpockets.com/show158. That's biggerpockets.com/show158. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Talk to you.
All right, thanks.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much for coming on the show. That was awesome. I know you're like drooling. Wipe the drool.
I know. I was taking notes while he was talking of things that I need to do in my
which plan is rare, here,
right?
Which is rare because you and I.
Yeah, you take more notes than I usually do.
Right.
But today I was like taking notes. Like, I got to do this. I got to do this. Like little things that he said. Like, I mean, there was one that I thought was just great where he said, "Let me see if I can find it." He said, "What's your lowest and best cash price?" Just that phrase. So I wrote that down. I'm like, oh, that's really good. I really like that. And then the send mail, even if they say no, send that offer. Oh, that's so easy, but I just love that.
Yeah, that's one of those clever little things. Well, that's why I talked about it in the beginning. It's like, you know, these are little things across the board that the average guy's not doing, and that's how you win. So. Yeah.
And because, I'm a funnel guy. I said that in the show, right? I love funnels. And the beauty of what he does is like, you do these little things and they're not going to make necessarily a massive difference. It's not like just by sending that card, you're going to get twice as many people to say yes necessarily. But when you improve every point of that funnel, just a little bit here, a little bit there, you might 10X your final result at the end of the day, just by improving and doing the little things throughout the funnel. That just give you that little edge on every part of it. And it's just, you can just see that in Jeff's business, how well it did that for him.
Awesome. Perfect. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, guys. Great show. Thanks again for listening. Again, please get out there, spread the word about the Bigger Pockets podcast, whether you tell a friend or share the show on social media, or, you know, whether it be this particular show, go to biggerpockets.com/show158 and share that link with your friends, share it with the people that you know. We're just the podcast. Spread the word. The more people that we could get to, improve, the better we all do as a community. So get out there. Otherwise, of course, jump on biggerpockets.com, join the community, interact, engage with with other folks just like Jeff and yourselves. And we'll look forward to seeing you there. So again, make moves, guys. Make it happen. I'm Josh Dorkin, signing off.
You're listening to Bigger Pockets Radio, simplifying real estate for investors large and small. If you're here looking to learn about real estate investing without all the hype, you're in the right place. Be sure to join the millions of others who have benefited from BiggerPockets.com, your home for real estate investing online.
There's a reason small multifamily investing is so popular in the Bigger Pockets community. With just a 3.5% down payment, you can own up to four different units. Think about it. If you house hack and live in one of the units, you still have three different groups of tenants helping you pay down your mortgage every month, four kitchens and bathrooms you could renovate to increase your property value, four different Airbnbs, medium-term rentals, or other rental strategies that you can try in one property, all in just one transaction. Of course, the question is, where do you find a small multifamily property that you can actually afford? Which market and which deals are best for you? Once you close, how do you manage it, optimize it, keep scaling, and living your life without being tied down to four leaky toilets or four fussy tenants? All great questions, my friends. All to be answered in the upcoming Small Multifamily Bootcamp with Chris Lopez and Leka Devatha. So if you're serious about growing your portfolio with this highly efficient strategy, head to biggerpockets.com/four, F-O-U-R, today and join us in the Small Multifamily Bootcamp. See you there.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all hosts and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.